Well, friends, the Herald of Hope has been going since 1948. And my father was one of the foundation members of the Herald of Hope Committee. I was saved in 1948, so the move he made was blessed of God and the salvation of his second boy. On the 1st of August 1948, at about 8:30 on the Sunday night in the Hurstville Baptist Church, my father gave a gospel appeal, and you couldn't have stopped me from stepping forward with a team of horses. I was desperate to find Jesus Christ as my personal Saviour. At the age of 15, I came to know the Lord, and praise God, it's been a wonderful journey ever since with the Lord, and He's been so precious to me, and He's given me such wonderful opportunities now to share the same message that my dad preached for so many years. In 1997, I was asked to be the editor of the Herald of Hope magazine, and God has just opened up such a wonderful ministry for us, and we've seen the Lord richly blessing. The number of subscribers has doubled and trebled since I became editor. I'm not saying that that's because of me, it's because of the Lord. And we've seen books that we've been able to produce that the Lord is really blessing, and you'll find them on the table up there. I guess with those six books on the Keys to Bible Prophecy, we must be about 120,000 of those printed. And we don't ask for a cent, we just give them out, and God wonderfully supplies the money. We don't ask for money, the only thing we charge for is three books. And one of those, the Bible Prophecy Handbook, I should explain, is because when we printed that, being a larger project, it cost about $15,000 to print the first edition. And a dear brother in the Lord felt that the Lord would have him put the whole amount up as a fund to keep that book in production. And so he asked that we charge just the printing cost plus a dollar or so, about $1.50 I think is the margin. And we sell that for $10, or if you want it posted, for $12.50. And that money goes back into the fund to be able to reprint the book and keep it in circulation. And so we just thank God for that provision. But that's the reason why we charge for that book. Friends, this weekend, I believe, is going to be a time of rich blessing. I've been praying that the Lord would really work in our hearts and stir interest and enable me to be able to present the message of the Lord's return in a way that will be simple, understandable, and will help you to grow in the things of God. It's not something that I have in myself, it's the Holy Spirit who does the teaching. He's our teacher. And as we go to God's Word over this weekend, I trust that He will be able to instruct each one of our hearts that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now friends, I want to say this. Try and come to every meeting. Now, the subjects have been structured to give you a complete picture of the Second Advent message. And if you can come to each one of these sessions, I promise you that by the time we get through the sixth of these on Sunday night, you will begin to see the great picture of what God has in store for this world. And not only will you begin to see the picture from God's Word, but friends, you're going to see also from events that will be able to relate to you from the news, from events that are taking place around the world, you'll be able to see that we are indeed in the last days. And I think it's very important for us to relate the prophetic scriptures to what is taking place in the world, because we are living in the most exciting days of human history. We're living in the days when the events that have to take place just before Jesus Christ returns to reign are beginning to come together. They're forming up. The stage is being set for the last act on the stage of history before Jesus Christ bursts through the glorious heavens and comes in power and reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And friends, if you can see the signs as they're emerging in the world today, when you read your newspaper in future, you're going to say, ah, there it is. It's all happening. I get people sending me newspaper cuttings And they say, look, here, more evidence. The European Union coming together, the revived Roman Empire. And they see Israel back in the land. They see Russia getting cozy with the Muslims. They see the events of the kings of the East. Oh friends, it's all happening in our day. And we are seeing the nations getting into place for the last act of history before the Lord Jesus comes to reign. But friends, there is another factor in Bible prophecy which is overlooked by so many people. So many commentaries, so many preachers omit the truth of the church. You know, friends, I believe the confusion that reigns about eschatology or the last things or Bible prophecy comes largely from a lack of understanding about the true nature of the church, the body of Christ. God sees three classes of people in history. He sees the Jew, he sees the Gentile, and he sees the church. And unless we can discern between the Jew, the Gentile, and the church in Bible prophecy, we will end up in confusion. God has a plan for the church. He has a plan for the Jew, and he has a plan for the Gentile nations. We mustn't confuse these three. And so, over this weekend, I hope that we will be able to see how those three classes of people fit into God's plan. Well, friends, I'll get this thing going again, if I can. I had a little problem with this gadget. It was switching off every 60 seconds. So I had to keep touching it all the time while I was preaching. And I was up in Queensland, and a brother said, "Oh, I can fix that." So he fixed it, but now it switches off every 5 minutes. So I can't preach more than 5 minutes on any one picture. So I've just got to keep moving. Well, friends, the sign of the end of the age. Now, the subject announced tonight was the signs. Now, I'm not going to speak on the signs, I'm going to speak on the sign. One great sign of the end of the age. And that emerges out of this passage in Matthew chapter 24. Remember that the disciples asked three questions. They said to the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Olives, "When shall these things be?" That is, what is the timing of the temple destruction? They had just been in the temple in Jerusalem. This wonderful temple, dear friends, had been under construction for 46 years. It began in 20 BC. Herod the Great had begun that work. And it had just reached completion before the Lord Jesus began his ministry. In fact, the finishing touches were still going. And Jesus looked at this great temple and he said to them, "See all this?" He says, "There won't be one stone left upon another. It's all going to be thrown down." And that shocked the disciples because they were expecting the Lord Jesus, who had come as the Messiah, and they had acknowledged him as the Son of God and the Son of David. And they were expecting him to reign over Israel, to restore the kingdom to Israel. Just before the Lord Jesus ascended, they said, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore unto Israel the kingdom?" They were looking for an earthly kingdom. And the Bible predicts that. The Bible promises that to Israel, that one day there will be a kingdom on earth. Christ will reign and Israel will be God's privileged people to reign over the Gentile nations. That's going to happen one day. And the disciples thought it's going to happen now because Messiah's here. And so they said, "Lord, you know, if the temple's going to be destroyed, how could you reign without a temple?" And the Lord says, "There's not one stone that will be left that won't be thrown down." Well, dear friends, that was the first question. The second question was, "And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age?" What is going to be the sign of Jesus coming again? And the third question, what is the sign of the end of the age? There's one great sign that would indicate that the end of the age had come and Jesus was about to appear. And they wanted to know, What are these three signs? Now friends, the first sign about the destruction of the city of Jerusalem is not recorded in Matthew's Gospel. The answer to that question is not recorded in Matthew's Gospel. It is recorded in Luke chapter 21. Luke records part of the Lord's answer, and Matthew records another part of the Lord's answer. And Luke tells them what will be the sign when the temple will be destroyed. And the sign, he says, when you see Jerusalem encompassed with armies, know that the desolation thereof is near. And that happened, dear friends, in 70 AD. The Romans came under Titus, the Roman general, 80,000 troops. He surrounded and for 5 months besieged the city of Jerusalem. A vivid description of that is given in the writings of Josephus, who was actually outside the city at the time observing the siege. And Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was broken down. The stones were taken away. And friends, that has been fulfilled. Now, what is the next sign? What is the sign of the Lord's coming? Well, the Lord's coming, a sign of that is the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. We read about that in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, we read, Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now friends, if tonight we were to walk outside and look up in the sky, and we saw a man with multitudes of angels around him, and the light of the glory of God shining around him on the clouds of heaven, that would be a sign, that would be a miracle. And the Lord Jesus says that will be the sign of his coming. As a matter of fact, he warned the disciples in Luke chapter 17 and in Matthew chapter 24 not to be deceived by people who come and say, here is Christ. He's out in the desert. Or he's in the innermost chamber of this house. Jesus said, don't go after them, because the sign of his coming would be like the lightning shining from one end of heaven to the other. That will be the sign of his coming when he comes to reign over this earth. Now, what's the third sign? The third sign is, when will be the end of the age? Something is going to happen in this world that will indicate that the coming of Jesus Christ is near. That he's going to come in glory and power and reign over this world, and there's going to be a great sign that will indicate that coming is near. Let me tell you, friends, that that sign is the Great Tribulation. There is going to be, at the end of this age, a period of 7 years of great tribulation. And that will be the sign of the end of the age. Now friends, before that time of great tribulation takes place, of course, there is going to be something for the church. You and I live in the church age. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come into the air, and he's going to catch up all the saints who are part of the church, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, and we're going to be forever with the Lord. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be translated into his presence. We're going to get resurrection bodies. And so we shall be forever with the Lord. We're going to speak about that on Sunday morning. But then after the church is gone, God has more business to do with Israel. You know, friends, God's prophetic message is predominantly to the Jews. The Jewish nation has been God's chosen people. And God has a plan for Israel. He promised it to Abraham 2000 BC. He gave him the land for an everlasting possession. He promised he would bless those who bless him and his seed, and he would curse those who curse him and his seed. And then he gave the covenant to Moses at Sinai. And then he made another covenant just before they went into the land of Canaan, called the Palestinian covenant, Deuteronomy 28, 29, 30. And then he made a covenant with David and promised David that he would have a throne and his seed would reign over the house of Israel forever. And then, friends, he's promised through Jeremiah that in the last days he's going to have a new covenant, an everlasting covenant, in which the whole nation of Israel will turn to Jesus Christ and be a saved people serving the Lord from Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 2 says, the law of the Lord shall go out from Jerusalem. And friends, this world is going to enter into a time of great blessing when Jesus Christ reigns and Israel is a saved nation. What a wonderful time that's going to be. But the sign of the end of the age is a time of great tribulation. Friends, let's just look at some of these scriptures that tell us about the sign of the end of the age. Jesus said, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, that's in the temple, whoso reads, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. And he goes on to speak about emergency action during that time of great tribulation. In verse 21 he says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. Friends, this is the sign of the end of the age. Who is the sign to? Friends, it's not to the church. The sign is to Israel. You know, Matthew 24 and 25 is not written to the church. It's written to the nation of Israel. Do you know when the church started? Acts chapter 2. Everything in the four Gospels has to do with Israel. The Lord Jesus came to the Jewish people. He didn't come to Christians. People who believed in Christ in the days of the Gospels while Christ was here didn't become Christians. They became Old Testament believers. A lot of people miss that fact. You know, the first Christians came after the day of Pentecost when God added to the church such as were being saved. They weren't added to the church beforehand. In Matthew chapter 16, the Lord Jesus says, I will build my church. Future tense. The church didn't exist while the Lord Jesus was here. And we must read the scriptures in their historical context. Dear friends, Matthew 24 is all written to Jewish believers. And we must recognize that, or else we get confused. And so he's saying here, to these Jewish believers, it's all very Jewish. It says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of standing in the holy place. What's he talking about? Friends, during the Great Tribulation, the 7 years of God's wrath being poured out upon this earth just before Jesus comes to reign, there is going to arise an Antichrist. Daniel chapter 9 tells us about it. And he is going to make a covenant with the Jewish people for 7 years. It's going to be like a peace treaty. He's going to guarantee their defense. He's going to divide the land for gain. He's going to solve the problem between the Jews and the Arabs. You know, America's tried to do it and they can't get it together. Europe wants to come in now and kick America out and take over the Middle East. They're not going to do it either. Until their last ruler, the Antichrist, who will come out of Europe, out of the revived Roman Empire, the European Union as we know it today. And friends, Antichrist will solve the problem. He'll divide the land for gain. That's in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 39. And friends, when that happens, Antichrist is going to be able to move into the Middle East. We'll talk about this on Sunday night. But friends, this abomination of desolation is something that takes place halfway through the 7 years of Great Tribulation. In fact, we're told in Daniel chapter 9 that in the midst of the week, the midst of the 7 years, Antichrist will cause the Jewish sacrifices to cease. For the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate. And friends, that requires the Jewish temple to be rebuilt. There's no temple on the Temple Mount today. But there will have to be one there for Antichrist to be able to cause the Jewish sacrifices to cease. They've got to be built, the temple has to be built, and they have to restart their sacrifices on the Temple Mount. And Antichrist is going to stop their sacrifices halfway through the 7 years. You know, friends, it's interesting, the Jews today are very keen to get that temple built on the Temple Mount. The space is there, the foundations are 100 metres north of the Dome of the Rock. They don't have to knock down the Dome of the Rock to be able to build the Jewish temple. In fact, the scripture says that the Gentiles will still occupy the court of the temple. Revelation chapter 11. And the Jews are going to rebuild that. They're going to start their sacrifices in this time of great tribulation. And Antichrist is going to come in and stop them halfway through. And then he's going to put his idol on the temple, in the temple of God in Jerusalem. And that's the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, when it speaks about abominations, there are some times when abominations refer to moral wickedness. For instance, the Bible refers to homosexuality as an abomination to the Lord. But when the Bible in the Old Testament speaks about the abomination of desolation in the prophecy of Daniel, the word abomination there in the Hebrew exclusively means idolatry. It's the abomination of idolatry, of an idol. And so when Jesus says, when you see the abomination, the idol of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place in the temple in Jerusalem, then know that the time has come, the great tribulation is here. Then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. And friends, this is the sign of the end of the age. Let's just get our picture back again. Right. Now, when this time of great tribulation is finished, you'll see in verse 29 that something is going to happen at the end of this time of great tribulation. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give a light, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. So, when will the Lord Jesus Christ come to earth? He's going to come immediately after the tribulation of those days. I remember many years ago I was doing a bit of pastoral work up on the North Coast, and there was a family there that had a son who had become a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And they had a son that was in high school, and he'd become very, very keen in the Seventh-day Adventist teaching and was thinking of going into the Seventh-day Adventist ministry. And of course his family was somewhat concerned about that, and they asked me if I would go and speak to them. So I went up and had to go across on a rowing boat onto the island in the Clarence River and spent an evening with them. And he had his Seventh-day Adventist pastor there. And he told me that the Great Tribulation had been going on for hundreds of years. I said, wait on. Let's look at the scriptures here. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give a light, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. If these great signs all happened in 1800 and something, and 1700 and something, and 1600 and something, when did Jesus come? And of course he couldn't answer. I said, it says immediately after these things, Christ will come. He said, but immediately doesn't mean immediately. I said, well, if immediately doesn't mean immediately, what does immediately mean? Friends, the scripture says that this time of great tribulation is immediately followed by the second advent of Jesus Christ as he comes in the heavens in power and great glory. And that hasn't happened, dear friends. The great tribulation hasn't taken place yet. And this has to be something which has no precedent in history. For instance, it says here that except those days should be short, no flesh would be saved. It is a time such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. Friends, we have seen the Holocaust. We have seen awful things happen down through history. But listen, when the great tribulation comes, it's going to be worse than all that. The scripture says in one of the sealed judgments, one quarter of the world's population is going to perish. One of the sealed judgments. Revelation chapter 6. Friends, there are 6.2 or 3 billion people in the world today. That's over 1.5 billion people. That has never happened before. Then we're told a little bit further on the book of Revelation, one third of the residue. That means another 1.5 billion people if the population is still only 6.3 or 6.2 billion. That's half the world's population in two judgments alone. And that, dear friends, is 3 billion people dying. That's never happened in the history of the world. But that's what's going to happen in the sign of the end of the age, this time of great tribulation. Well, friends, there are different views about this, a time of great tribulation. And there is the preterists. They want to tell us that the great tribulation is over and done with, that it happened in 70 AD. Now, I've just had a couple of books that I've obtained from the Preterist International Association, and I've been going through those, and I've been absolutely amazed at how confused they are about Bible prophecy. They try to fit everything into the 38 years from 32 AD up to 70 AD. And the Bible says that after this time of great tribulation, it says that immediately after that, Christ will come. So if the great tribulation took place in 70 AD, when Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans, then Jesus Christ would have to come in 70 AD. And I thought, surely they're not saying that. And when I read it, they do. They actually say Christ came in 70 AD. Ah, but they say, but he didn't come the way you say he comes. They say he came in a spiritual sense. And so they spiritualize it all. He came in a spiritual, he didn't come visibly or literally from heaven like he said he would. But he came in some spiritual sense, and he established his kingdom in the hearts of individuals. Friends, the Bible says here that every eye shall see him. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That seeing was the eye. Revelation chapter 1 says, behold, he cometh in clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also that pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him.